This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Center for Conscious Kids. I'm Ashley Lee, the founder, and I'd like to introduce to you all my teammates here in the podcasting room. Travis Looney.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having us.
And Pete Olson.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Hello. And we'd like to introduce one of our amazing professional people who are listing under as an energy healer and extraordinaire and emotional wisdom support coach and energy healer. His name is Mike Peterson. He's from the center, the San Francisco Center of Emotional Healing. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time to be with us today.
Hi, Ashley. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me along.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome. We wanted to start with, we're rather curious. How did you get into this work?
Well, I had been in finance for all of my professional life until I had a stroke on the operating table at age 29. And coming off the table, the stroke, it had affected my brain quite a bit. And I had to rebuild my life because I couldn't do finance anymore. So I went back to school studying a number of things. But for me personally, I was still trying to get back elements in my life. And so I put together a research group of people in different industries and people in different fields and areas of health. And the whole idea was, how do we figure out what it is someone is doing that's generating really positive change results in someone's life? And I kept an open mind in terms of I didn't care whose material it was or what they were doing, just as long as it got results in changing someone's life, helping heal whatever it was, whether it was shifting their mental state to produce physical healing or just shifting mental state so as to change what was going on emotionally for them day to day. And that's really how I fell into it. We studied all sorts of things. I made contacts with just some amazing, incredible people who were doing things on sort of the brain-based side, as well as people who had amazing abilities to just seemingly shift all the aspects of someone's life without necessarily having to be there or in traditional sort of means. And that's how I came to it. Finding good people, studying what they did, and then applying it to my own world to create the changes that I did.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. That's a really deep story. It looks like, you know, from what you're describing and what you're doing for people right now, that's really a huge shift that you've made in your life. That seems like it's really projecting and supporting the shift for other people to experience as well.
Yeah, everything I do with my clients are all things that I do for myself or have done for myself that changed my life and helped healing my brain from the traumatic brain injury, the stroke, and then I had two traumatic brain injuries after that, and then just shifting my day-to-day experience. And all those are all the things that I, you know, bring into my work with my clients.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, would that be one of the things that you see people being able to relate to the most is being able to share that experience and saying, hey, not only am I, it's kind of like that hair club commercial, not only am I the member, but I'm the president as well. It's kind of like telling people, I'm not just trying to sell you this. This is stuff that actually worked for me. Is that, do you think people are really receptive to that?
I think that's definitely one of the things which helps people begin to feel comfortable about exploring something that's different, a new approach, in the sense that I can speak from my own experience where I, you know, with everything that happened to me and then literally losing everything in my life because I couldn't work and I had to go back to school and coming out of it, I had to find everything I could and apply it to myself. And so, you know, one of the things I always felt was, the challenge, the age-old, you know, saying the aphorism, you know, physician heal thyself. And I figured before I was going to share something with someone else, I want to make sure it worked for me. And while it was a challenging time in my life, it provided me a good baseline in terms of discovering, okay, what are all the things that I have to do to make my way up? Because, well, when you got next to nothing and your brain's not working right and emotionally you're a wreck and, you know, all the everything that happened, you can tell how far the elevator goes up in the building when you start on the ground floor.
What type of people do you support in their conscious living? And so how do you support your clients from a conscious perspective? How would you define that?
Yeah. I emphasize to all of my clients that we are spiritual beings, that we have so much more available to us than what we're generally taught and brought up with. And there's certain times and places in which people begin to notice that there's information they have access to that's not necessarily obviously there, that there's more going on than sort of what the story is that they have stored in their brain that describes their past and would explain what's going on for them in their day-to-day life. And then I explained that the best parts of what I have to offer and what changed my life actually came out of my spiritual practice. And that what has allowed us to be able to develop and turn off people's PTSD and their nightmares and, you know, lifelong anxieties and fears around anything and everything. It really doesn't matter. Actually comes from how we use our consciousness and shift our perceptions of ourselves and what's going on and actually bring that back to the brain itself. Because at some point, every emotion we're feeling, every aspect of what our consciousness is trying to perceive and understand goes to our brain. So it allows us to have access to what's going on while using our imagination to use this immense brain power we have that largely goes untapped. Bring the two together to change our life. And specifically coming down to when we actually change what our brain perceives, as in from misperception towards what's actually going on, it allows people to feel comfortable being a more conscious being. It demystifies, but it also allows them to have confidence in growing on newer levels. And that breaks down some of the misbeliefs or the limiting beliefs about what's actually possible and how much you can change in your life. So that's sort of the baseline that I try to start with and support that as people begin to make changes. And then they see the changes and they feel it and they say, oh, you're right. This does work. This has changed something for me and I've noticed it right away. And that's what we're looking to get, because that's a really positive place to not only support them in, but also to come from.
Wow. I'm over here and just in awe. That's beautifully said. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
So we want to talk about how does that relate to supporting parents? Like, what kind of parents do you see in your practice? How do you support them? And then how does that affect the family and the children within that family structure? What can you give us some examples or some instances in which you've seen this occur within your practice?
Yeah. Probably the best place, the sort of the smallest building block nugget to explain is it through psychology and some, you know, just really tremendous people who have studied this and noted it, and I see it every time I work with a client. Our brains have evolved to a point where we are, you know, here as humans, we have these sort of common everyday human experiences where we go about driving our cars, brushing our teeth, being an interactive participant in our families and our relationships. But the way in which our brain does it actually uses very, very, very old, but also because it's old, the most highly refined aspects of our brain. And one of these pieces is that since this part of our brain evolves first in a growing child and a growing human, it uses modeling, as in how do we do it here, to learn tasks before language even shows up. And as a result, children do modeling where their brain actually does not perceive a difference between little Joey and mom, Mary. And so if the mother, we'll just call her Mary, if she has an anxiety about something going on in her world, just a natural fear, this survival wiring, this old part of our brain in little Joey is going to automatically lead to the conclusion that since there's no difference between mommy and I automatically inherit essentially the fear, the anxiety that mommy has in that moment. And the inability to distinguish between the two is a real problem. Now, starting especially around age two-ish, you'll hear children, they discover, I want something. And that is, you know, I'm not happy or I'm hungry. That's the beginning where they begin to go, oh, there's a difference between me and mommy. But so much learning, especially what they inherit from their parents, starts then. So in terms of supporting parents in dealing with and raising conscious kids who are very sensitive, it's important that the parents are able to dial down appropriately and usefully their anxieties and their subconscious fears. Because so much of what makes kids become overly sensitive or overly empathetic is actually the learning that comes without any language, without being told. There's no list of directions. Mary says, Joey, you must be afraid of strong winds, or you must be afraid of people of a different color. You must be afraid of, and name whatever it is, because it just happens automatically. So when adults are raising kids, or they're around these very sensitive kids, want to support them, the best thing they can do is for the parents to find what is it that generates the most fear or anxiety, or they are most stuck in their lives, and we just shift it, we turn it off. And then naturally, the kid becomes a sponge that is soaking up peace and confidence from their parents, and that's who they're learning from. So the earlier that a parent can, you know, basically shift their major anxieties or fears about being a parent or providing for the family or whatever might be going on between the two, you know, spouse partners, that is a tremendous thing because they're now radiating calm and peace and confidence. And then the child will learn from their behaviors that come from that. And this is especially true in people who are sensitive to young children. If there's less fear, then there's less overcompensation to be very empathetic. If there's more calm and peace, then early on, these very sensitive children automatically learn how to feel in control in the world and how to control their sensitivity and their consciousness so they're not overwhelmed by what's going on around them in life.
That sounds great. Thank you for that explanation. That's really beautiful. It's really deep, too, to understand those aspects that maybe many of us really didn't know were happening. So I really, really appreciate that. That explains a lot. Can you explain a little bit about how if someone were to contact you and work with you, how does that work? Because I wanted to bring in a lot of what we call virtual healing modalities and healing practitioners, and you're one of them. Could you explain a little bit what that means and how that is supported, not only, you know, emotionally and mentally, but also spiritually or energetically?
Yeah. Because of how we are both spiritual beings with our consciousness that blends, where the rubber hits the road on the level of brain, we have the opportunity for both our brain to affect our consciousness and our day-to-day life, and also to use our more conscious or other than conscious aspects of who we are to affect our brain, and ultimately it affects our day-to-day life. And this can be accomplished remotely. All you need is a telephone, for example, to have a conversation with someone and teach them and guide them to make the updates on a brain level, but also to get in contact with and to learn to have control over more of their higher consciousness elements. So this can be accomplished via webinar, or I work a tremendous amount just over the telephone. So there's a beauty in that. It allows people wherever they are without having to travel to go do a seminar with someone to see this, you know, one person or do this work. For example, I help people with turning off people's PTSD or their phobias and fears, and I don't have to be in the same room with them. And it happens so rapidly, it's not like someone has to come back and do multiple sessions. That's the beauty of our work. And I'm very familiar with it. I admire your ability to work with children, for example. I work generally with adults, people say age 10 or 12 and up. But the ability to do that, be able to direct their intelligence and help them, again, the fact it can be done remotely is tremendous. But people can reach me via the web, via email, but if you can go to the Brain Integration Institute, you can find me there and all my contact information. You can also go to the San Francisco Center for Emotional Healing. It's sfceh.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we were excited to have you on today and learn more about what's possible for emotional, spiritual, mental, and as you described, even physical healings that happen for people when they're able to really stabilize their emotional experiences in their lives and how that impacts not only themselves, but their family members as well, and opens the opportunity for what Pete had talked about earlier about expansion and allows them to really live the life they'd like to in their family. So thank you very much for joining us today, and it was a pleasure having you on Center for Conscious Kids podcast at the Specialty Produce Network. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me. I really admire and appreciate everything you're trying to do to support these families. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.